We're going to cross over to Augusta, to Greg Allen.
Yeah, Marie, very interesting sort of scenario here this week, because we've got a beautiful sunny day today, an Augusta spring-like day, which is, you know, pretty much what you hope for in a Masters. But we're going to have none of this over the 4 days of the actual Masters tournament. I'm joined here, as so often we are joined on the programme, by Doug Ferguson of Associated Press, a regular in terms of interpreting Masters. This one's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is. It's a Masters unlike any other. I'm not even sure what the top storylines are, because there is a full menu.
Yeah, okay, let's go through some of them. We actually heard the chairman of Augusta National, Fred Ridley, just a couple of hours ago here in the clubhouse, the media centre, doing a press conference, where he almost handed an olive branch to the LIV players and to some degree. Or did you interpret it differently to me?
I didn't interpret it so much as an olive branch, as really a good pulse on what this is about. There were a lot of concerns back in December and January, when the LIV and the tours were really at each other's throats, and, well, that Champions Dinner is going to be really spicy. And I think as we got closer, we recognized that the Masters is above it all. The dinner is above it all. This is about Scotty. This is about memories, things like that. And I think what Fred saw at the dinner last night, interaction, a few laughs, a few tears, was indicative that everybody's getting along fine. I think he said that the tone was good. So I don't think it was so much of an olive branch that I think everyone hopes that the noise quiets a little bit. But I think he got a sense that at the end of the day, everybody's here for one piece of clothing. Everyone's here for one goal, and that's to win the green jacket, and it doesn't matter where they play.
And it was interesting, I think, as well, in Rory McIlroy's press conference yesterday, and he obviously has been at the vanguard of a lot of anti-LIV sentiment with regard to how I think a lot of players, and certainly he as chairman of the Players Advisory Committee, felt that last year's LIV assault on the PGA Tour was basically, you know, something which had to be repelled. And he was even saying that let's park that for this particular week and let's play the golf. And that's out of respect for the Masters, and which is what this tournament is. But there are 8 former Masters champions now playing on the LIV Tour who are playing here, and 12 other players who have qualified from the LIV Tour. It's 20% or more of the field. So it's a huge LIV presence by any standards.
There's no question there's a LIV presence. And I don't think you get a sense when you walk onto the range, Rory and Brooks playing a practice round yesterday, and you've seen Kevin Kisner and Dustin Johnson, longtime friends. These are the things that bring a small degree of normalcy back to Masters Week. But I don't think there's a single fan, a single media person, frankly, a single player who in the names and the numbers next to him go up on the leaderboard tomorrow, you're going to ask, oh, LIV guy. Oh, that's a tour guy. You're not just going to look at a name, you're going to look at an allegiance. And I think we saw that, frankly, Greg, in Dubai this year. Rory goes on to win. Patrick was there, but there was
Patrick Reed. This is a very, very serious LIV player.
I forgot I'm talking to the Irish. Patrick Reed, the American.
Patrick is popular enough Irish name.
I'm sure we want him in America either, but that's another story. But it wasn't just those two. There was the leaderboard for about an hour left to go in the tournament was populated with a mixture of tour and LIV players, and that was the biggest buzz. I don't see how the Masters is going to be any difference in terms of how it's perceived by the people watching from home.
Okay. All of that aside, the Masters is going to start unfolding tomorrow. The weather for the 4 days, very, very difficult to predict how it's going to affect the tournament. But we do know there's going to be a lot of rain. Saturday looks terrible in terms of, 90% chance of rain, 25-mile-an-hour winds, temperatures down around 12 degrees centigrade, low 50s here, Fahrenheit. The weather in Augusta, it's going to come from the northeast, that wind, and it does seriously affect how this golf course plays.
It is. I was talking to a few green jackets on Tuesday who were already talking about Monday.
Dreaded Monday finish. 40 years we haven't had one of those.
I wasn't counting, but yeah, the dreaded Monday finish. And a lot of it had to do with wind, actually, more than rain. So we'll see. But we are in for a wild week across the board. I mean, the great thing to me is that Tiger Woods is playing again, and given his condition, that's always cause for hope, for celebration. And I'm not sure anyone's talking about him as much as they normally would, because there's just so much else going on.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? You see Tiger still with that very flat-footed walk that he has, but he's still getting that ball speed out to 180 miles an hour, which is as good as a lot of the young fellows are managing out there. So he remains a serious competitor if he can get his walking, you know, boots on him for 4 days. Hopefully he makes the cuts. Is Tiger a real contender, do you think?
I don't think he is, but that's the first time I've ever said something like this, and I'd like to be able to retract it. But the only reason I say that is for so many years, he's made it really difficult to doubt him because he's done so many surprising things. But you have to be practical here. This is only his fourth tournament against the elite competition since we watched him hobble off a year ago. He's only played once this year. He's never a threat whenever he plays. It's nice to see him play, and it's remarkable that when he's made the cut, which he's done all but once at the Open at St. Andrews, is the only time he didn't make the cut. But when you look at Scottie Scheffler, and when you look at Rory, and when you look at John Rahm, and I could go through a long list of names, and you ask themselves, can this guy beat them? And the answer is most probably no. That was one of the things I asked him in his press conference. He's played with so many younger kids, and even people his age over the years at the Masters, and they've always looked at Tiger. This is the guy. I can't imagine any of them see him as a roadblock to them winning the Masters.
You know, I actually see something slightly differently, because if you go flick back through the Masters history book and you see that Gary Player in 1978 at 42 years of age hadn't won on tour for 4 years and he won the Masters. Nicklaus since 86, I don't think he'd won for nearly 6 years or something like that. Something horrific anyway, in terms of the length of period of time, and he won the Masters. There's something about Augusta, the course and distance, the familiarity of the turf under your feet, knowing that a lot of the players are hugely daunted by it, and Tiger isn't daunted by the actual challenge, and that works to his advantage, which might negate some of the physical disadvantage.
I would agree, and the two names that stand out to me are Fred Couples and Bernhard Langer. Even though they're not going to win this week either, I'm pretty certain. The fact that over the years, I mean, Fred can show up. Bernhard showed up, I think it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. Got within, I don't know, 4 or 5 of the lead on a Saturday, and you're thinking, how does he do it? The reason he does it is because he knows the course, he's comfortable, you just know your way around this place. And when you've won 5 green jackets and you're Tiger Woods, you really know your way around this place. So I think that's why you can say, don't rule it out completely, but it is unlikely.
Okay, so we're 6 minutes into this conversation and we haven't mentioned the words Rory McIlroy, which is on the not just the tips of the tongues of every Irish journalist here and Irish fan here, and there are plenty of them. Seen a few Offaly jerseys out there supporting Shane Lowry. But Rory McIlroy, you know, if he should win on Sunday, with all the heartache that he's had around here since the 2011 collapse, last year finishing runner-up with that exultant finish, the holing out of a bunker shot on 18 to run into second place, never really had a chance of winning it. Should he win on Sunday, though, it would be an emotionally huge high point and very good for the PGA Tour as well in their profile, because it's a huge story in the making.
It really is. I thought it was nice when Rory kind of acknowledged, and I'm sure he's known this before. I've heard so much conversation over the years of, if Rory didn't win early, not to worry. He's not only going to win a green jacket, he's going to win several of them. And for Rory to acknowledge, yes, they said that too about Greg Norman. He mentioned Ernie Els. I always think of David Duval as another example of someone you were certain was going to win at least one Masters by the time they were done. You still have to go get it. And the thing that concerns me historically, nothing about Rory's form because it's really tip shape right now. Historically, this is his 15th Masters. And only two players have played the Masters this many times before they first won. O'Meara won in his 15th and Sergio won in his 19th. So I think the thing with Augusta that makes it so difficult and different from the other majors is that while you have great memories here and you have great course knowledge, you have an awful lot of scar tissue. Every corner you turn is a memory of something that's gone wrong. It's just, that's true with everybody. And those are some of the demons you have to conquer.
It's funny, I spoke to Rory yesterday and he was saying that, like, at this point he's gone away from all of these trying to, you know, in the idea of putting Masters into context, you know, it's just another tournament. He's got downplaying the Masters is no longer how he's going about it. He's just accepting that it's a stressful week. It's a big week. He's got to handle it, and that he just has to really just get down and into it early, get off to a half decent start, which he often hasn't done, and just get up and running, and then treat every feeling of stress for what it is, a huge opportunity. Is that wise?
I think so, because I think sometimes he overthinks it. Oh, it means a lot. I'm going to prepare a little different this year. Oh, I'm going to act like it's not a bad. There's too much thinking about how you're supposed to either not care or not worry or whatever, just go play. Accept, and that's the biggest thing, Greg. Accept the fact that, yeah, you're going to be tested. And you want to get to the last hour, and that's when the real test begins, to see if you have it mentally, emotionally, to be able to do it, knowing that that's coming. And he's dealt with it before in other tournaments and other majors. I think it's all about accepting and understanding I've got a road in front of me and be ready for it.
Three players have separated themselves at the top of the world rankings pretty much from the rest, and it's Rory McIlroy at number two, John Rahm at number three, who was number one only a few weeks ago. Like, they've interchanged already this year, and Scottie Scheffler, who's just had in outstanding form yet again, and he walked away with it last year. His three-shot victory, he had a four-putt on the last green, which meant there was really a four- or five-shot victory, because he was walking up 18 with a great deal of comfort and upholstery on his lead. I mean, is it one of these three, do you think? Will the weather possibly throw in a scatter cushion in there of a player we might not expect?
Well, I think just golf will throw in a player that you don't expect. I mean, that's going to happen anyway. But when you start talking about favorites and expectations, you just don't stray too far from those three. And you mentioned Rahm. It's stunning to me. If you go back to the opening round he had at Bay Hill, this guy's never going to lose again. And 3 weeks later, he's number three in the world and not number one. Scheffler is interesting because, you know, we thought he was on a bit of a heater last year. You know, just everything coming together at once, and then I don't say disappears, because he didn't. He didn't win again the rest of the year. And now he's doing it again. And frankly, if you look at this 2023 calendar, his worst finish is 12th in seven tournaments. He is a proper player. He's got game. Obviously, he's got game. I think he's a gamer is what I mean. He just knows how to sniff it, how to get it done. He's got the length. He's got the marvelous short game. He can't be discounted. But we look at those three because they've been rotating the number one position, and rightly so by their winning. But there's still a collection of guys right behind him. The other Irishman that we don't talk about, Patrick Cantlay. I know he was born in Los Angeles, but we have a lot of Irish in this country. He's a guy that has no real weakness, doesn't win as much as it looks like he should. He's sneakily rounding into perfect form, as is his buddy Shoffley. And then you just go right down the list. Spieth gets a lot of attention because, frankly, when Spieth is on decent form, his name on the leaderboard means more than other players just because of his history around here. And there's probably a couple others that we're leaving out. I don't know that weather affects it that much. I just think Augusta affects it that much.
Okay, one word. Who's going to win? Who do you want to win?
You go first.
Well, obviously, I really want Rory to win, even because of the fact that so much history is in the making, and this is a big, big surprise that people want me to want Rory to win, but I would be very happy if Seamus Power or Shane Lowry won, and obviously our amateur here is hopefully going to get the amateur medal, which hasn't been won for a few years, Matt McLean. But you?
I would like to see Rory win. I think Rahm is going to win. The one name we didn't mention in a very positive note, I think you should look for, is Patrick Reed, because whenever controversy slams down on this guy is when he plays his best. I mean, if there's a big live versus the tours moment and people are watching, Patrick's going to show up.
Doug Ferguson of Associated Press, thanks so much for joining us here on Game On, and back to you, Marie.
Thanks so much, Greg. I think I'll agree with Greg there and hope that Rory McIlroy does win. It'd be nice to see Rory in that green jacket for sure.